Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talkin' Steelers Football. I'm Bob Labriola, joined as always by Mike Pursuta of the DVE Morning Show. Today is Monday, August the 20th, and that means the Steelers just came off their second preseason game. It was against the Indianapolis Colts last night at Heinz Field. The Steelers won that game 26-24. Conversely to the way that they lost the first game on a late field goal, Daniel Rapman, 4 for 4, makes the 43-yarder, the 22-yarder, the 43-yarder tied, or brought them within one to set up the 22-yarder that kind of was not pretty, but it got between the pipes, as they say.
I like to describe it. A guy who's not going to be here made a kick after a quarterback who's not going to be here let it drive down the field, and it delighted a bunch of fans who aren't going to be here in the regular season, because these things, traditionally people give away their tickets, and those who don't normally get to attend get a chance to attend, and they're very excited about it. It's all great entertainment, but grand scheme of things, big picture meaning, you and I may struggle to find that.
Well, let me just say this. If that quarterback continues to, he might be around us on a practice squad.
I would have no problem with that. I think he is an interesting prospect.
Yes, me too. But anyway, let's get to some of these things in particular. You know, Mike, to me, for the second straight week, the Steelers jumped out to a big lead and kind of were in control of the game early. Then I don't know if it's a lull or the other team responded or how you want to describe it, but for the Steelers last night against the Colts, a 14-0 lead turned into a 17-14 halftime deficit.
It did, and the varsity gave up one of those touchdowns, and then they were starting to sub on defense for the second Indianapolis drive. I'll be honest with you, Bob, full disclosure here, I was not keeping track if that was the Colts' number one offense or not, although I assume if Andrew Luck was playing, and he was, that they would have the real people around with
certainly
him.
The real front guys in front of him.
Yeah. And first thing on that, is, wow, is that kid a player? I know this is a Steeler show, but he is all that. He is who we were told he was.
Yeah,
he's very good.
Starting caliber NFL quarterback.
Oh, I think he's in the top half right now.
Okay, well, but what I'm saying, though, is let's take it incrementally. I think that it's where he ranks, we can argue, but where we definitely agree is he's a starting caliber NFL quarterback. And what I mean by that is someone you could win with, not a 2-14.
As Mike Tomlin had said, not good for a rookie, good.
Good, right, exactly. Yeah, that's what I mean. So, but anyway, what did you take from when the varsity was playing?
I think kind of what I took from the Philadelphia game, you're seeing some things that if the Steelers are able to do these things offensively and defensively on a consistent basis, they're going to be a very good team. They're not doing those things right now. I think part of that is attributable to just how basic it is and how they're not game planning, how they're just, okay, let's do this now with this group of guys and see what happens. But if you want to look at the glass half full, you saw the ball turned over on defense. You saw Lamar Woodley getting to the quarterback. Those are good things. You saw some hits offensively. You saw some splash plays again, particularly from Antonio Brown. And, man, if he's going to start doing stuff such as that on a regular basis, wow, because that was a play designed to get 5 yards on a first down, and it ends up in the end zone. Twice in two games now, Bob. A 57-yard touchdown has resulted from a ball that did not cross the line of scrimmage after it was thrown.
And didn't go very far from thrower to receiver even on top of that. Electric to me is an adjective that I've used to describe Antonio Brown since he came here, and he certainly was that on that play. He also made a really nice catch along the sideline. That was a very good throw, though, too. Ben converted that 3rd and 11 with that 18-yard out. That ball was released before he came out of his break. Perfectly thrown. Great catch. Got his feet down. I mean, that's
big league play.
Big league, right. Absolutely right there. But, I'm not I'm going to harp on what I always harp on, which is red zone efficiency. 1 for 6 so far in the preseason, 0 for 3 last night. 0-for-2 and goal to go. I mean, 0-for-2 and goal to go.
I guess one of those you could say bad quick change offense too, if you want to identify the area.
Yeah,
after the block punt, they weren't ready to go in there. And get it done.
When you look at kind of the intensity that each of the two teams' units brought to that situation, I think that the Colts came out with a little bit more. And these are that's the glass half empty version or outlook. David Gilreath, though, maybe there's a fourth number four receiver.
Yeah, they've had their eye on him for a couple of weeks now, and I think they wanted to see what he could do in that Philadelphia game. It didn't work out, but he showed up. If he was starting to separate going into last night, I would imagine he certainly has continued to do that. But I still think this all comes down to the offensive line, Bob, and we have not
seen Tunch.
It does. I mean, it has since draft day.
I agree with you.
I hate that as much as you do. And, you know,
I'm just glad you're saying it instead of me.
I feel bad for bringing it up, but you got to do what you got to do. And I think when they get the five guys in place, and not only the five guys, but the guys playing the spots they're going to play, because technically right now left tackle is the only unresolved spot, but because that is unresolved, you have your right tackle playing left tackle, and you have a guy playing right tackle who's probably going to be one of your key guys off the bench. And one of the goals was to get the five-man group some chemistry and some cohesiveness and some mojo together. Max Starks maintains as long as they do that going into the fourth preseason game, that's enough time to get that done. But until that gets done, you're not going to see a consistent running game. You're not going to see consistent protection. And when you don't see consistent protection, you're not going to see the ball going down the field. And you're going to see what we've seen the first two preseason weeks, which is basically a couple of, wow, look at that, and a whole lot of, I wonder what they're trying to accomplish there.
Yeah, I agree. When you don't have consistent play up front, splash plays is the way you got it. That's your bread and butter. That becomes, and that's really not a high percentage way to go, but I understand that it's the preseason and, you know, you work through those things as well. But, I mean, Gilreath, I don't know. I haven't seen enough from, I mean, Tyler Beiler wasn't even targeted last night. So, and based on when he got in, I don't know. I just think Gilreath has really separated himself now, and he is a potential contributor on special teams. Let's call him that. Certainly, you would want Rainey, I think, returning kickoffs. But Gilreath is.
Oh, I agree with Mike Tomlin again. Below the line.
Oh, absolutely.
That was a wide receiver that knocked Chris Rainey down late in the second quarter.
I didn't notice that.
Went down on first contact. The kickoff after the Colts tied the game.
Yeah.
And the Steelers ended up starting inside their 20-yard line.
Yeah, okay.
I expect more from Chris Rainey than to get taken down by a wide receiver.
In the open field.
In the open field.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. But anyway, I just think Gilreath, when you look at it that way, I mean, he made plays down the field. And the thing that was impressive to me about him was each of his four catches converted a third down on a drive that ended with a score. And so, he's contributing in significant moments, which, you know, I definitely think that that's – When you're evaluating things, you know, you look at catches and yards maybe, but when those catches and when those yards were attained, I think is a factor as well. And this guy, as I said, he had made four catches, and each one of them converted a third down on a drive that ended in a field goal. 40-yard catch on third and 11, which is significant. 24-yard catch on third and 16. I mean, these are kind of the kind of plays that, to me, mean more than just a 24-yard catch because it was on third and 16. So, on my club anyway, he's number four. We'll see what happens later this week. Maybe somebody shows up that drops him down to number five. That would be nice. I think if you look at him as a fifth receiver, I like that a lot.
Yeah, I know a couple of guys that would be very, very happy if the scenario that you were suggesting, in fact, came to pass.
One of them throws the ball.
And the other one is the guy who made that splash play last night. He might not have to work nearly so hard to get his yards. Because Antonio Brown was talking about how it doesn't look good right now. That was his exact phrase in describing the offense. I think he'd like to see a certain somebody blurring down the sideline and taking some coverage with him and creating a little space out there.
Yeah, well, and that's certainly what Mike Wallace brings. It's still going to be interesting to me, though, to see what his impact on defenses is going to be if he does not really know what he's doing. And I truly, in all fairness, I don't see how he could. I mean, you can study the book, but I think that doing it in live or even practice conditions is something that you cannot simulate. Now, how long it takes him to adapt to that, we'll find out. But
still got
to
cover him.
Oh, well.
If all he does is run up and down the sideline, you still got to cover him. And if all he does is run up and down the sideline, you might have to cover him with two guys.
Okay.
I'm not suggesting it'll be that basic, but just for argument's sake, you could line him up wide left every down and say run deep. Somebody
well,
gotta cover
I think, and I'm not enough of a X's and O's guys to counter that, but I think that, that's the one thing about him as a player that I think is, I think it's easier to take away one thing. And that's why I always thought for him to be who he wants to be paid to be, he can't just be one thing. So
no, but he can be one thing and help.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely.
Help a
great deal. Oh, yes. Okay.
Might not get him Larry Fitz money next February, but
– yeah, it sure helps the –
might keep him busy in early February.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have no argument there. None. I'll just move on. Jonathan Dwyer, I thought, looked pretty decent too.
Yeah, kind of the same – theme here. When it's there, he can take advantage of it. And we've seen Jonathan Dwyer splash now relatively consistently, or periodically, I should say, in his brief Steelers tenure. Some of the reason it hasn't happened more often is because opportunity hasn't been there. Some of the reason is that he has not been maybe as prepared to take advantage of the opportunity as he could have been. And some of it is because of what's been going on with the line. But I think that guy can play. I think Baron Batch can play. I think Chris Rainey can play. I don't know how this all sorts out. I don't know who gets X number of carries per game and who does what. But they're still figuring it out as they go along.
A lot of times injuries figure it out for you, too. But let me just say –
along those lines, Isaac Redman told me last night he's going to try to practice tomorrow, for what that's worth.
Well, and let me just throw this note about Dwyer, and then we'll get to that. Dwyer has 10 carries so far this preseason. He has a 33-yard gain and a 23-yard gain, which is what you're saying.
And last year, what was it, 76 against Tennessee?
Yeah. So, yes, he is a guy who, if you block it right, he's going to go a good way with it.
And he has a collegiate track record of doing that.
Right,
so
exactly.
It's not as if there's no potential or possibilities. There just isn't anything established in the backfield right now.
You mentioned Isaac Redman, and I'm not suggesting that Isaac Redman is trying to milk an injury or anything. I don't believe that, but I do believe that those running backs now, the move to activate Rashard Mendenhall has to have had an impact in that room. You can't – I understand when or when he won't be ready, but the fact that he is progressing, it's – I believe when training camp started, or if you would have asked me, that the likelihood of him playing before November was very slim. Now, that still may be the case, but him being on the 53-man roster now – certainly is an indication, if you're competing at the same position as him, that maybe that's not going to be true and he might be back earlier. And I think that kind of, it creates a sense of now for all of these running backs. And, Isaac Redman is obviously feeling that. And it's a good thing, I think.
Yeah, I think the other guys have gotten it. I think Rainey's certainly getting after it. Baron Batch, you saw him finishing the Antonio Brown catch and run blocking a guy at the 5-yard line.
Yeah.
It's a long way for a complimentary guy to get on a play like that.
Right, and find your way in. And getting in front of him is, you know, beyond the effort, the hustle. I mean, you're running pretty fast.
Yeah, so I'd say he's getting after it.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah.
I would say Dwyer's getting after it in a Dwyer kind of way. He's one of those maybe it's his personality, so low-key and so matter-of-fact. He doesn't give off a vibe of frenetic,
right?
You know, pedal to the metal
enthusiasm. He doesn't,
but he can play.
Yes, and he is good with the football in his hands. And you know, when your job is running back, that's a pretty good thing to have as a basic skill set.
Should be
okay. You wanna flip over to defense a little bit,
yeah,
Ike?
Do that.
Let's do it quick, though.
I want to add one more thing on Gilreath. We had touched on him, but he's a first year pro, but this is his fourth organization. So you would think that he has picked up a little bit along the way of what it takes and how to prepare and how to meet challenges and that kind of thing. Hasn't been all that successful at it yet, but sometimes –
maybe learn from your mistakes, you know, right.
Thank you. And sometimes you figure out how to do it through error and failure, and then when the right circumstances arise, that you have a chance, then you can succeed.
Especially in a place that is – accepting of people of your pedigree.
And especially if you're from the Big Ten Conference.
Okay, that's going to do it for this edition of Talking Steelers Football. We're going to have another one of these in a couple of days. We'll take a look at that defense.
You just don't want to hear me talking about Cam Hayward.
No, absolutely. Well, Cam Hayward is one thing, but Big Ten is something totally different. I just want to throw this in. You're always talking about the Big Ten, but we were having a little conversation pregame, and someone was trying to reference a date to you and said it was the year that Ohio State lost in the national championship game. And
when
you
said you got to be
more specific than that. For Mike Pursuit, I'm Bob Labriola. Thanks for listening. Talk to you soon.